The words of God given to us today are Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. The book of Judges features a total of 12 judges. Among them, the fifth judge is Gideon. When he was called to be a judge, the lives of the Israelites were in a state of devastation beyond measure. At that time, Israel had been under the rule of Midian for 7 years. When the Israelites planted seeds, the Midianites would come riding on horses, trample the land, and ruin the crops. Not only that, but during harvest season, they would sweep away all the produce of the land, and they also took all the livestock, such as sheep, cattle, and donkeys. Because of this, the Israelites could not live in their villages and had to live in pits, caves, and strongholds in the mountains. The Israelites could no longer endure the oppression of the Midianites and cried out to God. In fact, the reason the Israelites suffered so much was because they turned away from God's word and abandoned him. When the angel sent by God appeared, Gideon was secretly threshing wheat in a winepress to avoid being seen by the Midianites. At that time in Israel, people would dig a pit in the ground and place a winepress inside it to press grapes. Wheat threshing, on the other hand, was done in an open area using the strength of oxen. But Gideon was threshing wheat in a pit. Even if the pit was large, it would not have been a suitable place for threshing wheat. The reason Gideon did this was because he was so afraid of the Midianite army. He also didn't want the wheat he had threshed to be taken away. At that moment, the angel sent by God said in Judges chapter 6, 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The angel of the Lord's words, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," sound almost like mockery. There seems to be no connection between the frightened Gideon and the title Mighty Warrior. Gideon himself must have found it hard to believe, as he replied in Judges 6:13. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?'" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. God, however, truly shaped Gideon into a mighty warrior. God led Gideon to become a man of faith who would go into battle against the 135,000-strong Midianite alliance with just 300 soldiers. Just as God had spoken, Gideon was gradually shaped into a mighty warrior, both in leadership and in faith. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was originally a disciple of John the Baptist. But when he heard John say about Jesus, "Look, the Lamb of God," he left to follow Jesus. He then went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," and brought him to Jesus. Jesus said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Cephas is Aramaic for rock, and Peter also means rock. Jesus did not say to Peter, "You are already the rock," but rather, "You will be called Cephas." When Simon first met Jesus, he was far from a rock. He was like a lump of clay that could easily break, or like sand tossed back and forth by the sea or river. But just as Jesus had said, Simon was gradually shaped into a rock. And Simon Peter became a central figure in the birth of the early church, as seen in the book of Acts. In today's passage, we also see the message that we are being built together. Ephesians chapter 2:20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. We were originally people who had nothing to do with the kingdom of God. We were foreigners without citizenship in God's kingdom, strangers and outsiders. But through the cross of Jesus Christ, who is our peace, we were made citizens of God's kingdom. And not only that, we were also made members of God's household, his family. Furthermore, we are told that we have become one building, one temple. Our Christian community, the church, is like a building constructed on the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. What kind of work does an apostle do? And what is the most important qualification to be appointed as an apostle? The book of Acts, chapter 1, 21-22 says, "Therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us. Beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." They were choosing someone to replace Judas Iscariot, who had been called by Jesus but went his own way. And the qualification for this replacement was to be a witness of Jesus' resurrection. This was an essential requirement for becoming an apostle. Those who neither saw nor believed in the resurrection of Jesus would not be able to truly believe in the rest of his earthly ministry either. Paul was able to become an apostle of the Lord because he encountered the risen Christ. If Paul had not met the risen Lord, but had only experienced a personal conversion, then even if he had become a great Bible teacher who explained God's word well, he could not have become an apostle who proclaims the risen Christ. When we hear the word prophet, we naturally tend to think of prophets from the Old Testament. The prophets in the Old Testament foretold the coming of Christ, and in doing so, they laid the foundation of the church. However, there were also prophets in the New Testament era. If the text referred only to the Old Testament prophets, it would likely have said prophets and apostles instead of apostles and prophets. Ephesians chapter 3:5 says, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. And Ephesians chapter 4:11 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. The prophets of the New Testament era, like those of the Old Testament, received direct messages from God. At that time, the Bible had not yet been fully compiled. Therefore, the foundation of the apostles and prophets refers to the message they delivered. The Bible also speaks of another foundation in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation on which we must build our faith and life is Jesus Christ. In construction, the foundation is more important than anything else. Of course, if the foundation is the same, then the quality of materials becomes important. But no matter how fancy, expensive, or rare the materials may be, they are not more important than the foundation. People often focus only on how wide and tall they can build their lives and faith, or on what high-quality materials they can use. But if the foundation is not solid, the building cannot stand. In the Middle East, there are many desert regions, so the proper way to build a house was to find a large rock, level it, and build on top of it. However, since they didn't have the kind of advanced equipment we have today, building this way wasn't easy. As a result, many people took an easier approach. They built their homes where sand had been compacted and hardened between rocks, making the ground appear flat and solid like stone. It seemed like a good place to build. But when the rainy season came, the floods and winds struck, the houses built on sand were washed away. If we do not make Jesus Christ the foundation of our lives and our faith, then when the storms and winds of life come, the house of our lives and faith can collapse and be swept away. Today's passage, Ephesians chapter 2, 21-22. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. God has not only made us citizens of his kingdom and members of his family, but has also made us into a temple. However, this temple is not yet complete. It is a temple that is being built. Not only are we each a temple, but together we are being built into one united temple. And in order for that to happen, we must be joined together and built together. In the Korean Bible, joined together is two words, and in the English Bible, it is three words. But in the Greek Bible, it is expressed with a single word. Likewise, being built together is expressed with three words in both Korean and English. But again, it is a single word in the Greek text. This emphasizes the importance of being joined and built together. Imagine making a wooden water tank that is 1 meter tall. Each wooden plank must be 1 meter in length to complete the tank as intended. If even one plank is only 70 centimeters or 50 centimeters, then the tank can only hold water up to that height. Only when all the planks are built to 1 meter can a 1 meter high water tank be completed. To better understand today's passage, we need to shift our perspective from modern construction concepts to those from 2,000 years ago. Today, buildings are mostly constructed with reinforced concrete. But in ancient times, large buildings were made with stones and plaster. In ancient construction, especially when building stone walls, there were several steps involved. The first step was selecting the right stones. A builder would look at a pile of stones and think, which of these stones is best for building the wall? This one doesn't quite fit. It's too irregular. If I'm going to use it for the bottom layer, the stone needs to be fairly flat. But this one definitely isn't. Oh, but that one over there looks just right. Then the builder would take that stone and place it where it was needed. Then the builder would return to the pile and start again. Which stone is the best one to use next? And once again, a suitable stone would be chosen and placed in the right spot. This process would be repeated over and over. Each stone used to build the structure was selected one by one, never chosen in bulk. The same would have been true for Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, and Herod's temple. Each of us is like one of those stones. We are individual stones that make up the temple and the united spiritual temple. Just as each stone used in temple construction was chosen, each of us has been chosen and called by God. On the surface, it may seem like we are here because of our parents, children, family, friends, or acquaintances. But in truth, God used those people at that time and in that way to call each one of us. Not a single one of us was called in bulk, like mass-produced items from a factory. Just as a skilled tailor sews each stitch carefully by hand to create a garment of the finest quality, or a master craftsman carves and shapes a violin or a guitar with devotion and precision, God has reached out His hand and through His mysterious providence brought each of us to this place of worship today. That's why Isaiah 43:1 says, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Second, It is the process of placing each selected stone in just the right position according to its size and shape as the wall is built. If you look at a wall or fence built with stones, you'll see large stones, small stones, and medium-sized stones, all different. There are no two stones exactly alike. Today, we are all gathered together to worship on the Lord's Day, yet not a single one of us is exactly the same as another. This is because God created each of us differently and led us through different life journeys. That's why we do not pursue uniformity, but rather unity in diversity. Just as building a stone wall requires stones of various sizes and shapes, the church must be made up of people who are different from one another. If a church were made up only of people with a certain level of education, a specific type of job, one sex, one age group, or one shared interest, then it could not truly be the church. To perform a symphony, you need wind instruments, string instruments, percussion, and keyboards. That's where the word symphony comes from. It combines the prefix syn, meaning together at the same time, with phony, meaning sound. Though each instrument is different, when they play together, they produce one unified sound that moves people. If only wind instruments or only string instruments played, no matter how skilled they are, it would not be a true symphony. 1 Corinthians chapter 12:12 and verses 22 to 23, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. So as we are being built into a united temple, as the temple of God, we cannot clearly know who is a large stone or a small stone, small one, or who plays a strong role and who plays a weak one. What is visible does not necessarily mean it is important. For example, an earlobe looks beautiful with an earring, but that doesn't mean the earlobe is the most important part of the body. Organs that are not visible are far more essential to life. Lastly, third, the chosen stones go through a process of refining and shaping, what is called 절차 탕마, cutting, polishing, chiseling, and grinding with a whetstone. When building a temple with natural stones, no matter how carefully the stones are selected, none of them will be a perfect fit from the start. There are always parts that don't quite fit. So those parts are chipped away, sanded down, chiseled, and polished little by little to fit the overall shape of the wall. After that, plaster is applied. When we listen to God's word through the sermon during worship, or learn through small group Bible studies, that process is like 절차 탕마, the refining and shaping of our character and faith. It's not only that we need to face God's word, but we must also allow God's word to face us. In other words, while we must listen to and read God's word, We must also allow God's word to listen to and read us. When that happens, our lives and faith will surely grow and mature. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. In building the temple, only blocks dressed at the quarry were used, and no hammer, chisel, or any other iron tool was heard at the temple site while it was being built. In Jerusalem, there must have been workers building the temple and supervisors overseeing the work. But because the stones had already been shaped and prepared before being brought to the construction site, those workers wouldn't have known how each stone had been made ready. Likewise, we may not know how others have been refined in order to become part of the United Temple. That's because the work happened within them. Even now, God is at work within us. Pastor Billy F. Graham Jr. is known as the person who preached the gospel to more people than anyone else in history. About 200 million people heard him speak in person, and including satellite and radio broadcasts, it is said that 2.2 billion people heard the gospel through him. His wife was Ruth Bell Graham. She was born in China, where her father served as a missionary, and she studied for 3 years in Pyongyang, North Korea. She passed away in 2007, 11 years before her husband. She was a faithful Christian, a poet, and an author of 14 books. Her grave is located at the entrance of the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've seen a photo of her tombstone. At the top of the stone is the Chinese character for righteousness. The character is made up of two parts, the character for Lamb above the character for Me. It beautifully expresses the truth that we become righteous by being covered with the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And below that, the inscription reads, End of construction. Thank you for your patience. Here's the story behind how that inscription came to be on her tombstone. Long before Ruth Graham was bedridden, she once drove along a highway that was under construction. She carefully followed detours and mile markers as she navigated through the construction zone. At the very end of the work zone, there was a sign that read, End of construction, thank you for your patience, unquote. It likely meant, the construction is now complete. Sorry for inconvenience. You may now go in peace. She returned home smiling and told her family about the sign. Later, she asked that the words on that sign be engraved on her tombstone, and so they were. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. There may be no better sentence to express the journey of life and faith. We are all being built together. And when the day comes when we breathe our last breath on this earth, if we can say to others and to God, End of construction. Thank you for your patience. Then truly, we have lived a blessed life. Today is Passion Sunday, the day we remember and honor the suffering of Jesus Christ, who was crucified in our place 2,000 years ago to give us eternal life. Jesus brought us back to life, though we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We had followed the ways of this world, lived according to secular values, followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. In God's eyes, we were disobedient children, by nature, objects of wrath. But Jesus, who is our peace, shed his blood on the cross as a ransom for us, tearing down the wall that separated us from God. We, who were once foreigners without citizenship in God's kingdom, strangers and outsiders, have now become citizens of the kingdom of God, just like the people of faith in the Old Testament and those who live lives of faith in this world. We have become members of God's household, and in Christ, we are being built together into a temple where God dwells. And yet, are you not convincing yourself, perhaps even brainwashing yourself, that following the values of this world will lead to a more successful life, that following the ruler of the air and the desires of the flesh will make our life more enjoyable? If you truly believe that the cross of Jesus Christ was for you, and that the crucified Christ is truly your Lord, then on this Passion Sunday, let us all respond to his word, which God prepared for us even 2,000 years ago, by building our lives and our faith as his temple. Let us remove from every corner of our lives anything that is unworthy of being part of a temple. Let us put an end to lives lived according to the ways of this world, the ruler of the air, and the desires of the flesh. And though we may be weak, lacking, and broken, let us cling tightly with both arms to Jesus on the cross and to the cross of Jesus. Then the almighty arms of our Lord, his eternal arms, will surely hold us fast, and we will be able to live as people striving to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. And on the day our temple is complete, we too will be able to stand before the Lord and offer this praise. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, when Gideon was called to be a judge, he was a coward when it came to faith and had little trust in you. Yet just as you spoke, he was shaped into a man of faith who stood against the 135,000 strong Midianite alliance with only 300 men. Simon Peter, too, was far from being Cephas, the rock, when he first met Jesus. But just as the Lord had said, after the Holy Spirit came upon him at Pentecost, he was shaped into a bold rock of faith who stood even before the high priest and religious leaders. May we also follow in that same faith. We were once dead in our transgressions and sins, following the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and the desires of the flesh, by nature objects of wrath. But we thank you that Jesus Christ, our peace, shed his blood on the cross and made us citizens of God's kingdom, members of God's family, and living stones being built into a temple. As we observe Passion Sunday, if we have refused to be built as a temple or longed for the life of an outsider and stranger who follows worldly values, grant us true repentance. We pray that each of us will be built well until we take our final breath on this earth. And may we all be built together into one united temple. When our pilgrimage on this earth is over, let us be able to stand before you and offer the praise. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. We prayed in Jesus' name.
Amen.